Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the church, and thank you for braving the elements of coming out today. Let's just begin our service with prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the patient love that you show to us. You teach us and you guide us. You challenge us and you coax us along the way. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that we have of different people who accompany us on this journey of faith, and for your working through them in our lives. We come to you this day, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for him. We thank you for the way in which, through him, you came into our lives and have remained there. We thank you that through him, you inspire us on this journey of faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways in which you give us courage for our journey. We thank you for the friendships that we have and that we cherish. We thank you for the members of our families who are there always to support us. We thank you for our homes. We bless you, Lord, for every gift that you give to us through personal relationships. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a caring Father, and that there is no detail in our lives that is too small for us to share with you. Not just the details of those things that are of a concern to us, but those details that mean that we can bring our joys, those little moments in our lives that bring us satisfaction, where we can share them with you, where we can say thank you. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this day seeking through your Holy Spirit your inspiration and guidance. And so we humble ourselves before you and pray that you might lead us from this place into a better place this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading today comes from John chapter 5, and we're reading from verses 16 to 29. John chapter 5 from verses 16 to 29. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. then you will truly be astonished. For just as the Father gives life to those he raises from the dead, so the Son gives life to anyone he wants. In addition, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge, so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son is certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, and indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God, and those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to the Son. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Don't be surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to experience eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to experience judgment. Amen, and may God bless to us that reading which comes from his word. Jesus has just finished healing a man. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Try and imagine it for a moment, right? Try and imagine it. That somebody comes into this church today. It's Sunday. This person is wheeled in a wheelchair. Or this person has never heard in their lives. Or this person cannot see. Or this person has been having convulsions all their life. Try and imagine whatever it is that this person is suffering from that has demented them all their lives. And in the course of this service, that person is conclusively healed. How would you feel? Just imagine it. A person rising from a wheelchair. Just imagine it. A person hearing for the first time, seeing for the first time. Just imagine somebody who was used to taking convulsions healed like that. Imagine how that person would feel. How would you feel? Surely you would be amazed. Surely you would just praise God for the whole experience. That's not what happens here in this story. What happened in this story is that the Pharisees were so narrow and bigoted and blind that they could not see the wonder of the healing. They could only see the fact that this man, Jesus, had worked on the Sabbath, which was a day of rest. And he broke the Sabbath. Not only did he break the Sabbath, he alienated these people so much and was continuing to do this so much that they wanted to kill him. And so this conversation then takes place where the Jewish leaders are absolutely against Jesus, and Jesus feels that he has to explain himself to them. My Father is always working, and so am I. Now just imagine it. This is what Jesus is trying to say to them. Imagine for a moment if God, who upholds the universe by his power, simply decided to have a wee rest. Imagine the chaos in the world and in the universe if God decided to take time off. My Father is always working. It's logical. God is always needing to work and use and exercise his power, says Jesus. And so am I. Now there's, if he just said my Father is always working, that would have been okay. And so am I. And by Jesus saying that, the Jewish leaders realized that he wasn't just breaking the Sabbath day, he was also saying that he and God were one and the same. He and God were equal. And here's the nub. Here's the nub, not just in those days, but here is the nub for people today as well. For many people today. The claims that Jesus makes about himself. And I don't want to go over kind of old history again, and I don't want to in any way try to kind of have a go on other religious bodies, but the uniqueness of the Christian faith surrounds the claims that Jesus makes about himself very clearly. Jesus isn't asking you to believe in him as some kind of great human being or great prophet. Here, Jesus is defending his right and claim to be equal to God himself. He is God the Son. And it is that very claim that is what is alienating the Jews. And it is that very claim that alienates so many even today. There are many within our own society who just cannot stomach those kind of claims. They're quite happy if we talk about Jesus as some kind of fallible human being who was maybe a good man who tried, like Buddha and so many other enlightened teachers, to point us in the right direction. They're okay with that. And our friends in Islam, they're quite happy if we keep Jesus at the level of just being a prophet. Not greater than Muhammad, but a prophet nevertheless. And Jesus just shatters through all of that and breaks through all of that and says, that is not me. You can't demean me by taking me down to that level. And you do demean me by taking me down to that level. I am God himself, come in the flesh. And then he'll go on to talk, and we'll follow him as we go on down the line about the kind of things that he is claiming for himself that are unique to himself. But be aware, and as I'm sure we are, that the kind of claims that Jesus is making are claims of equality with God. And he doesn't shy away from that. So, because we're supposed to be thinking about the kind of royal route to heaven, what is it? What are the unique claims that Jesus makes in this passage? And what is it that it should inspire us with regard to the future? Well, the first thing he says is this in verse 24. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Do you want eternal life? Well, listen to what it says here. It's so completely and utterly clear. Those who listen to my message, that's the first requirement. We've got to hear what he says. And in hearing what he says, we have to understand clearly what he's saying. But notice what he says. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me. There's the nub. The two go together. They stand together. Jesus and the Father stand together. Their message is the same. Those who listen to my message, what is that message that Jesus came to give? The message he came to give was good news. The good news that we could be safe, saved by him, if we came to him and believed in him and followed him. It's as simple as that. And what is it he says about those who do that? He says they have eternal life. Now notice, not that they will have eternal life, but that they now have eternal life. We've lost over the last number of weeks many people from our congregation. Some who have been members of this church for a good number of years. Loyal servants of this church and of Jesus Christ. And we might be tempted to say that the moment they died, they then got eternal life. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying here is this, that the moment that we turn our lives towards Jesus Christ and trust and believe in him, that's the moment that eternal life begins. That's the moment that you have life. We'll come to the rest later, but that's the moment that it all begins. You have passed from death to life there and then. You are the possessor of eternal life. Fabulous when you think about it. To be able to say at this moment in time, to leave this church today and to be able to say, I have eternal life. What a thing to say. What a gift to have. What a difference that should make. Oh, for goodness sake, folks, smile about it. Hey, it's not something that's terrible that's going to happen to you or has happened to you. Something wonderful is now ours. And notice what Jesus then says, that we will never be condemned for our sins, for we have passed from death to life. There it is again, emphasized. The Christian is someone who will never be condemned for their sins. They have trusted their life and their destiny and their care to Jesus Christ, and that means that they will never, ever, ever hear words of condemnation coming from the lips of God himself. For we have already passed. And there's the heart of the Christian gospel, folks. You can meet this church today knowing that you're a Christian, knowing that your sins have been completely remitted, you'll never be condemned for them, and that you have eternal life. That's you. That's me. That's forever. And then he goes on to explain how it will all happen at the end. He's saying the Father has life in himself. And I have that same life. God has what you would call independent life. You and I have dependent life. We depend on God for life. God has independent life. He depends on no one for the life that he has. But he has decided to give that same life to us. Eternal life. Life that will never end. And there will come a time when the dead who are in their graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and will rise again, it says here, and will experience eternal life. Now there's a difference between having something and experiencing it. And there's the promise that we spoke to of the kids. To the kids, we will experience, because we will be there in that place that God has set apart for us for all eternity. We will experience what it means to live out eternal life. Now, just in case we think that the living out of eternal life is like going to one long service, it won't be anything like that. And the living out of eternal life is something that will be fairly mundane and boring. It won't be anything like that. We will look at that next week in the tenets of what it means to live out eternal life. But we have it now. It's ours. And that means that when we arrive at the gates of what we call death, that word is inappropriate. Because the Christian is not someone who dies. The Christian is someone who lives. And therefore, that moment when the body ceases to function for us is the moment that we then go on to experience eternal life. And it's a wonderful promise. And it should make such a difference. It should completely transform the way that we live life now. And it should mean that we look forward with anticipation to the future. We have it all, and it's ours forever, and it can't be taken away from us, and it's guaranteed by God Himself, who is a power that is independent of all powers and cannot be thwarted in any way. And one day we will experience it in its fullness, and we will not be disappointed, but we will be pleasantly, enormously, unbelievably surprised at how wonderful it will be. Eternal life has already begun, but it is yet to be. And it's guaranteed because of who Jesus is, God Himself. Go in peace. Be inspired. Live out the life that is eternal. May the grace and the mercy and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with and remain with each one of us this day and forevermore.